Welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I am Tyler Hayward. Jeremy was with us yet. He is not. But also with me, he's number 44 on the roster. Number one in your hearts, Anthony Iani. Author, obviously a member of Michigan State Final Four teams and everything. You can check us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We did our preview show a little bit earlier for this weekend's football games. We have basketball, though. It's Big Ten Media Days, often overshadowed by the football stuff. So we're going to talk about that really quick, though, before we get into that. I coach basketball at South Bend St. Joseph High School in the Notre Dame vicinity in South Bend, Indiana. And, man, you know, if you are the praying type, one of the kids in our program was shot yesterday. And, critical condition. So just prayers if you're able, a 15-year-old, a champion, like in every sense of the word. So, again, if you're the praying type, if you could just pray for us and pray for his family and pray for him, stuff, we would really appreciate that. Let's get to it. Like I said, Big Ten Media Days were today and yesterday. And Juwan Howard spoke yesterday. Izzo spoke today. So let's start chronologically. Juwan Howard speaking yesterday. And we're going to kind of give you a little bit of preview of the basketball season. And look, this is really weird because kind of like football, there's a lot of similarities, a lot of unknowns with what's going to happen. And I mean, the one big difference, obviously, is Hunter Dickinson is back for U of M. And so that guarantees one thing. In regards to both of these programs. And look, he's going to be a monster. He'll be the second or third best big in the Big Ten. And, I mean, there's a chance he leapfrogs Kofi Coburn. And this is a team, though, like I said, you don't really know what they're going to get, do you, Anthony?
No, you don't. And because, you know, Michigan lost so many impact players. When you look at their roster from last year, they lost Shondi Brown, who was an impact player. They lost Isaiah Livers, who, you know, could arguably say was one of their best players. Had he not got hurt, Michigan probably is in the Final Four, but we won't know because of what happened. And like you said, Hunter Dickinson will probably be one of the top two, top three, you know, not just bigs in the league, but he may be one of the top two, top three best players in the league this year. So, you know, obviously, you know, Eli Brooks is back, but again, like, he's not going to give you that 14, 15 game points a night. They got a nice point guard out of Coastal Carolina. But again, like, there's a lot of unproven guys on that team from Michigan. And so the only proven guy right now is Hunter Dickinson. So it'll be interesting to see what Michigan does this year. I'm interested to see, what tricks Juwan Howard and company got up their sleeve.
Well, one of those tricks is the number one recruiting class. Jeremy, I know you're really, really high on them, especially Houston.
Yeah, no, I think the guys you lose a lot of experience. I think as far as winning the Big Ten, I think this will be a tough situation for this group. I think as far as making another run, I think they have enough to do that. I just think winning a Big Ten conference, having guys that have been around like Livers, Austin Davis, who's not nearly brought up enough, who was so beneficial because if Dickinson gets one, boom, take him out, throw Austin in. And Anthony could attest to that. I mean, having big guy depth like Michigan State has been huge. And, you know, Austin Davis was phenomenal the last 2 years for Michigan. So I think there's the experience they lose with Livers and a guy like Davis and then Brown and Smith, who played a lot of basketball, and then a really dynamic player in Wagner. Of course that hurts. The guys they have replacing them are just as talented or talented and more in some ways, but less experienced. So it is going to be interesting. I mean, it's going to be, you know, is Caleb Houston going to step right in and be better than Isaiah Livers or Wagner? I don't know. I mean, I think, does he have the potential? Absolutely. Is Jones better than Mike Smith? I think possibly yes, but we don't know. So, you know, I think Eli Brooks did score a lot at times last year. He's just not consistently a scorer.
Right.
So I understand the point there, but I think this team is really deep this year. I think when Zeb Jackson, now being a third-year player who isn't brought up either, who could really play well, I think Terrence Williams showed great moments last year. I think Brandon Johns, the best thing that could ever happen to him and the worst for Michigan was Livers going down, because he stepped in and actually played pretty well in the tournament. So I think they got a lot of guys that still have experience, and they got a lot of young talent. But it is going to be very interesting what they do in conference play. That's what I want to see.
Well, let me ask you about that, Jeremy, because I know you're such a big Brandon Johns fan, and you've got that 23 jersey hanging up above your bed. what? Look, no, you said he played well in the tournament, and I think one of the things is he just matches up well outside of the Big Ten. You put him in the Big Ten where there's a little more depth and there's a little more girth on the inside, I think that that's where there's a problem.
No, I just think he, you know, look, guys, 2 years ago, Livers went down. He came in and he had, 23 against Rutgers. So it's like, I think there's just like, he's just inconsistent. Like, he has moments where you're like, wow, you know, this guy can jump out of the gym. He, you know, offensive putbacks, you know, rebounds well. And then the ball just bounces off his hand. So it's just consistency with him, you know, and I think like, what did we say last year, Tyler? Like, him and Hauser, like, had a meeting together. Like, hey, you kick my butt this game, I'll kick yours the next. That was kind of what happened. Like, Hauser outplayed him at the Breslin, and Brandon Johns outplayed him at home. It was just, like, consistency. Brandon Johns has to be the most consistent he's ever been this year. And if he's not, though, guys, guess what's going to happen? Diabate is going to take a spot. And that's the thing that is good for Michigan, because they do have a 6'10 kid who's incredibly talented that could come right in and take a spot. So, you know, will he? No, he shouldn't right away, but that could be possible.
Anthony, I know you're high on what this Michigan team can, like, kind of bring to the table. Like, what are you interested in seeing outside of obviously outside of the development of Hunter Dickinson, if, you know, he can start hitting that mid-range consistently?
Well, I think for me, when it comes to Hunter Dickinson, is he going to be able to do something with his right hand than continue to shoot a left-hand hook? Because I think one of the biggest weaknesses that Hunter Dickinson had last year was he only had one go-to move, and that was to go to his left every time. And once teams started seeing that, they started playing him more of the baseline, and they want to force him to his right. And so, you know, that's my biggest question with him, is that was he able to work on his right-hand game in the offseason? Was he able to have a consistent right-handed jump hook? Was he able to develop a consistent jumper? Because I think that's one of the reasons why he did not even test the draft waters, was because he looked at that and said, you know what, I got to get better. Like, I can't just be a left-handed player. Like, I got to be both right-handed and left-handed. And so, and a lot of scouts in the league look at that. Like, if you could shoot with both hands, like, you're going to be pretty effective. So I'm really interested to see, you know, how his game is developed in the summer, because if it's the same old Hunter Dickinson, who's going to spin to the left on the baseline and shoot left-handed jump hooks and doesn't have a consistent jump shot, then teams are going to see that, and teams are easily going to play him, you know, to his left the whole time.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Jeremy said something to me was a couple months ago, because somehow in our football talk, we always end up talking about basketball. And what he was saying is we were starting to realize, you know, you look at teams like Michigan and Michigan State in football, and you're like, wow, these are physical teams. These are teams that can go, they can get into the weight room now. And now you're starting to see that pay off a little bit. You're seeing Michigan State, you know, out-muscle people, which they didn't do last year. You're seeing Michigan muscle people, which they didn't do last year. And you're starting to see both of those football teams have success. Is there an equivalent with basketball? Because we still have to kind of think. This is more of a neutral question. This isn't really focused on Michigan because we.
As far as what type of style
he's going to run, and we'll see that as he starts bringing more and more of his kids. But it definitely affects Michigan State. Is it a situation where, you know, now that these guys got in the weight room again together and they were able to push themselves a little bit more because they couldn't because of all the COVID restrictions, is this going to benefit those schools?
Oh, no question it will. And it's not just a Michigan State, Michigan deal. I mean, if you look at Duke, I mean, Duke's definitely going to benefit heavily from it too. You know, Duke's not going to be the same old team last year that was just that fell off the roof last year, fell off a cliff last year. Duke's going to be one of the top 10 teams in the country again this year. And same goes for North Carolina. Same goes for Kansas and Kentucky. Like, they're going to be top 10 teams again this year. And I think a lot of it last year, the reason why a lot of those teams weren't as good as they should have been is because they didn't have time in the summer to spring and summer to get those workouts in because of COVID. They didn't have time to put in the workouts and conditioning in the summertime that you usually put in. So, I mean, so a lot of those teams are going to benefit from having those workouts back again. And you can already tell, you know, from a Michigan State standpoint, you can already tell how much has benefited so far, you know, from their team based on what you see on the little snippets on Twitter and Instagram. And based on what I've seen, you know, in their workouts, you know, when we were back for reunion weekend. So it's definitely going to be a huge benefit. And obviously you've seen it from a football aspect as well. And you'll see it from all sport, from the aspect for all sports. So, and, you know, I definitely think it's going to be one of those years where in college basketball that, you know, maybe outside of Gonzaga, you don't really know who the top team in the country is right now. But once you start getting into the season a couple months down the road, you're kind of going to get a feel of who the better teams are based on what they were based on what they were doing in the offseason.
Jeremy, if you have one concern about this, because you obviously know them more than Anthony and I do. If you have one concern about this team, what is that?
My concern with Michigan is Austin Davis. And I know it might seem weird for me to say that, but I just
after you just hyped him up.
I think people don't understand it because they probably don't watch Michigan fully the way I did, you know, well, I always do. Austin Davis was amazing for that program for the last 2 years. I mean, he was great backing up Teske, and he was really great backing up Hunter. And I think what happens is when everyone knows Hunter now, I mean, I think Hunter came in last year and I think, you know, it's Hunter Dickinson. He's this big 7'1" guy. You know, he's highly touted. Let's just see what he's got. Wow. He's a beast. Now the focus is on him. We talked about this a lot, Tyler, on the show, where the focus is on him. And last year he had the benefit of having a lot of guys to kick out to that could really stroke it. You know, when you got Livers and you got Smith, who's a good shooter, and you got Shawnee Brown, who was lights out last year shooting the basketball, it was really easy for him to get doubled and just, boom, kick it out three. Well, this year I don't know if they're going to be as good of a shooting team as that. So my concern is Hunter's got to do a lot of work. They're going to double him a lot. And if he gets frustrated and gets a couple fouls, who do they go to behind him? Nobody. They're going to basically go to Diabate and Brandon Johns because Will Teixeira, their freshman, is not nearly ready enough. And they don't have another big guy. So, you know, honestly, as deep as they are at the guard wing position, they don't have depth inside at all. So Diabate, Johns, and Dickinson is all they have. So that's a major concern I have for Michigan basketball is if Hunter doesn't stay sound or he gets a couple cheap ones, you know, or he gets the one foul, Juwan can't take him out now, right? Because he doesn't have – he can trust Austin Davis. I mean, how many times, guys, did Austin Davis go in and give you 3-4 buckets? It was like, wow, you know, not only is he solid.
And they were gritty buckets too.
And they were – he was skilled inside, had great footwork. And it was just nice to see. I mean, me being a guard, I really enjoy Michigan basketball having some inside presence like that. You know, it's finally nice to see. It's been a staple in Michigan State's program. Anthony, you definitely understand that. Being a post player in East Lansing, I mean, what? It's physical. You guys got a lot of responsibility there. Mm-hmm. Setting a lot of pin downs, and you guys are moving guys. I mean, it's a lot. Michigan is kind of there now. But, yeah, Tyler, that's a major concern I have is if Hunter isn't as great as everyone thinks he's going to be. Because I think he's not going to be as great as everyone thinks sometimes. Like, I think he can be great, but it's a whole lot different, guys, isn't it, when everybody knows who you are? You know, like, everyone knows you're and it's doubles, it's three guys, it's guys, you know, digging. What are you going to do? I mean, what was the game last year, guys, where he kind of tossed the ball around? Was it Minnesota? You know, yeah, like he just wasn't
running. That's what came to my mind, yeah.
Yeah, he, you know, Minnesota just smacked him because they were doubling, and he was just throwing the ball all around. He wasn't ready for that. I think there's going to be moments this year where he struggles. I will say this, though, about him. Knowing a little bit about his development, he hasn't advanced his shooting range. I think the right hand, you'll definitely see a lot this year. And I think he will be a lot better at defending a ball screen because he got torched a little bit on that downhill drives. Those fast guards from, like, Illinois, Michigan State, they're just able to go right by him. You know, Rocket did it last year. And, boy, I really miss Rocket Watts. I wish he could come back. So, you know, I had to say that also.
That makes one of us. yeah, his lateral quickness and his range are the big things for me. I think because if you can get him to hit those 15-footers, the DHOs are difficult to come off and defend right around you know, the elbows and things like that. If he can hit 15-footers consistently, I know there's videos of him practicing his three ball. He doesn't need that. He doesn't. It's going to be nice to add, and he'll probably need it at the next level. He doesn't need that this year, though. And so if he can just hit 15-footers with enough consistency to warrant a threat, then, I mean, I think that changes everything that Michigan can do. And I think that that's you know, that's the one thing that he needs to do, and I think that that can turn him into a Final Four team. Obviously, it depends on, you know, the freshmen developing and the transfers, and if they're able to pan out. Some transfers don't. Others are Bryn Forbes. And so we'll need to see how that goes. Let's turn our attention now to Michigan State. Anthony, you said you were at the reunion week. What was one thing that you saw that you were like, oh, okay, I didn't know that we could do this. This is going to be something that can, you know, maybe shock some people and put Michigan State back where they belong.
Well, as far as like what I saw is what kind of surprised me. I mean, a lot of it was just the workouts, individual workouts from what I seen, but like, so there really wasn't too much as far as like what Michigan State was trying to run or do, but you know, I can tell you one thing, Tyson Walker is as good as advertised. I mean, the kid is quick. He can get you going on the run. He can pass well. He can shoot well. And, you know, from what I've been told, you know, Jane Akins is an incredible player. And they can't keep him off the court this year. That's what I was told. Like, they're going to try and find multiple ways to get him on the court because that's how good he is. And obviously, you know, Max Christie is Max Christie. I mean, Max is going to play like how he's supposed to play. And then, but I was really impressed with the bigs from a physicality standpoint. I mean, they look ready to go. I'm excited to see how they're going to do this year. And, you know, obviously the one kid that we all from a Spartan fan base point to every year when it comes to put up or shut up is Marcus Bingham. And, you know, he looked really good in the practices and open gyms I saw. He was shooting it well. He was being physical, but again, that's open gym and that's practices. Like, can you carry that over to an actual game? And you know, if Marcus Bingham is able to come out and average 12 points a night and 8 rebounds, then Michigan State's gonna have a really, really good year. But you know, it's all gonna be on him. But I'm not saying it just has to be him. Like, other guys are gonna have to contribute, and guys like Malik Hall, guys like Madi Suzoku, guys like Gabe Brown. And so, you know, I know a lot of people aren't expecting much from Michigan State this year, but you know, the last time they had a Michigan State team that had no expectations, a lot of those teams either ended up going to the Final Four or winning a Big Ten championship. So because yeah. Tom Izzo's most dangerous and scary teams are when they have no expectations. And obviously from the Big Ten media days today, you could tell that Coach Izzo looked really relaxed. He looked very excited to be around everybody. But, you know, a lot of teams in the league may look at that and be like, oh, you know, Tom's relaxed. That's not a good thing. He's not up. He's not tight or up tense like he usually is in the past. Like, you know, the fact that Tom Izzo is a relaxed coach right now, in my opinion, could spell a lot of trouble for teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and you mentioned Tyson Walker, Jeremy. I know you've been just watched. I think you watched a few games worth of footage on him. What do you like about him? Because you were comparing him to Watts, which obviously is a little bit scary, but I feel like this kid's a little more honed in consistently from defensive end.
I think he's just a more focused and poised Watts. I think he's the same type of player because he's athletic and he's bouncy and he can do a lot of things. And let's just not forget, Crockett Watts was very, very good coming into Michigan State.
When he wanted to be.
You know, it's not like this guy came in and he was trash. I mean, he just it didn't work. It just didn't work. And it happens a lot. You know, it doesn't just happen to Michigan State. It happens everywhere. Sometimes kids just don't work out. I think the type of player is the same. Are there some differences? Absolutely. I think Walker, again, is more poised. He's more sound, makes better decisions, takes better shots. His shot selection makes sense. Rocket Watts, sometimes it doesn't. But Rocket Watts just did not want to be a point guard in that system. Let's just be honest. I mean, his best moments were when get out of the way and let me go. That is not going to work at Michigan State. It's not going to work at a lot of places. You know, you're going to have to run the system. You're going to have to share the ball. You're going to have to use your teammates. You're going to have to play through a system. You're going to have to be good off the ball screen. I thought Rocket Watts was terrible off the ball screen. I was like, wow, is he ever a threat to pass? Not really. Where Walker is much better out of the ball screen situations, much better. So I think you'll see them do a lot like they did with Cassius, you know. And, you know, Anthony, you know, there's playing there. I mean, there's, you know, those quick ball screen out of early break situations where you guys are great at. You know, and then Tom got to the point with Cassius, guys. Remember, like, everyone just sit in the corner, Matt. It's going to be big roll, you fill. Cassius, find the guy or make the play. And it was amazing. And he dominated Michigan and Chrysler, and I was very sad that day. And you know, it literally, like, it seemed like 50 possessions. That's what they did. That's all they did. And it was amazing. I think there's that capability there. They just need a lot of guys to step up, guys. You know, I'm trying to be nice here, but look, Gabe Brown, has he been really, really consistent? I don't know. I mean, he's had moments. Malik Hall, he's had moments. You know, some of the concerns you would have for Michigan with guys, that's the same at Michigan State. I mean, I look at Bingham and I go, dude, it's 4 years, bro. Like, I mean, at some point, you got to be a double-double guy. You know, Hauser, you came in. You're going to have to play really, really well. You're a really good shooter. You got to knock shots down and just stay in front of people and don't turn the ball over. You know, and I think Tom has clearly sent his message, but guys got to do it too. You know, Tom Izzo can't be screaming at guys and they just never get it done. You know, they're going to have to do it. And the guy that's interesting to me is, because you mentioned point guard, Tyler, is Hoggard. A.J. Hoggard, or Hogard, however you say it. He was pretty good last year, guys, at times. I kind of liked him, and he's a physical guard.
Yeah, I remember he big boyed Dosunmu a couple of times.
You remember last year? I know you remember, like, when he wanted to chest up on defense, look out, man. Mm-hmm. Like, that dude was very strong.
Yeah, he is. Go ahead, Tyler.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, and the fact that Hogard lost quite a bit of weight this offseason, too, and put on, you know, more muscle and less fat, that's big for Michigan State. And the fact that there's talk that they may play two point guards at the same time, you know, that's also going to be very interesting to see as well. But, you know, the other thing is, too, is that, you know, when you look at a kid like Malik Hall, who is very capable of shooting the outside jumper, shooting the three, you know, there's a reason why he was voted captain this year. And I think you're going to see him do a lot more this year because, you know, he's kind of in that spotlight now. Hauser, in my opinion, you know, everybody was expecting him to be this top 20 draft pick, you know, transfer from Marquette. But in my opinion, I think the COVID stuff had a lot to do with it last year with him too. And so, you know, I'm not trying to use that as an excuse, but you could tell from a mental standpoint, he just wasn't right. Now he looks fresh. Now he looks ready to go. And I don't think there's all this pressure on him either to be this stud. I think he can just go out and play ball the way he knows how to play.
Yeah, and I think that that's a big thing with this team is there isn't a stud. Not right now anyways. Now, can one develop? Yeah, and it's probably going to be in the backcourt. It's going to be Brown, Christie, or Walker. Obviously, we'll just have to see how that goes just because – I mean, we don't know. I mean, there's just too many new pieces and too many guys that need to step up in these larger roles that, you know, they're not accustomed to. If Brown steps up and turns into that guy, which was, look, they lost Amone Bates, and that was my only concern is, okay, now I just don't know who's going to be the guy. Who's going to have the ball in his hand, you know, with 10 seconds left and going to be forced to make the play? Is it going to be Walker? Is it going to be Brown? Is it going to be Christie even? Because Christie's a bona fide star.
No question top... Christie on that, Tyler, by the way. I mean, yeah.
What?
Just want to make sure I say that. Just want to make sure I say that, you know, this with a plan. I was like, I got to really attack Sparty today. But, you know, I watched film, so I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to check me again, so I'm being nice. To be truthful and to be honest and unbiased, Max Christie has the possibilities to be an absolute legend in Michigan State. He's so Jason Tatum-like, it's scary. He's just like him. Maybe not as aggressive to the rim, dunking on guys like Tatum was. Plays so similar styles, it's scary. So breaking him down and watching him, he's the guy that the shot clock's down, you want him to take the shot. Like, that's, the, you know, like Langford last year. People forget about Langford. That was the dagger against Michigan last year, guys, at the Breslin. That was a tough shot he hit. You know, he was open, and guys got to make those shots. Like, I think people forget just how important that was to have a guy like Langford that could hit big, crucial shots, to lose Aaron Henry, an athlete like that. But I think you guys are going to be very happy with Christie. You know, I would be shocked if he didn't play great this year. I also would be shocked if him and Houston are not the best freshmen this year. I just think they're the most skilled, in my opinion. And I think they have NBA-level play right now with their size, their length, and their ability to score the ball. And Michigan State needs that so bad. And, you know, Michigan does too. So – I think both those guys are going to just have great years. I really do.
Yeah, two things I wanted to touch on really quick is Marcus Bingham looked good at the end of last year, and he did it for, you know, the last stretch of games. And so I don't know if something finally clicked with him. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm curious to see how Izzo manages, you know, who backs him up, because Marble and Sissoko, look, you're going to need those bodies against guys like Dickinson and Coburn. But – which, let's be real, that's not how you pronounce his name. But you're going to need those bodies. But I'm curious to see how he manages the minutes against, you know, your standard, you know, good teams that you're going to play in the non-conference, because, you know, both those guys bring a little something different. And ultimately,
Anthony, can I ask a question to Anthony, because we argued for 75 hours the other day? You know, if that's possible.
Oh, no, go ahead, because I heard it from both of you guys, so.
Oh, it was so much fun. Anthony was not very happy with me, and you know, it's okay. It's a rivalry. I want to ask you this, Anthony, because I want your opinion on this, because we fought a lot the other day.
Yep.
Do you think right now, today, that Michigan State has enough talent to make a Final Four run? Like, they have enough talent on this roster this year to make a Final Four run?
Let me ask you a question to that question, or let me respond to that with another question. Did they have enough talent to make a Final Four run during 2014-2015?
I think they didn't maybe have the quote-unquote talent. I just think they had guys that had experience. Like, I think that there was just certain guys that had the – like, Trice was amazing in 15, right? And yep. Then, you know, didn't it wasn't 15, you guys had Dawson, right? Inside, yep.
Valentine was young. Yeah,
you had veterans and you had dogs. So how about a two-part question? Do you have enough talent, and if you don't, do you have enough dogs on this team to make those type of runs that you guys have done in the past? Because that's where I say I don't think so.
You know, it's funny because, like, you never know with March. I mean, you really don't. Because you know, I could sit here and say, oh well, you know, no, we don't have enough talent, but you know, Michigan State may end up going like 26-6 going into the tournament. And then we have this conversation again, like, do they have enough, you know, do they have enough dogs? Do they have enough Spartan dogs to make a run? So, I mean, for me, I think they have enough talent to make a run in the tournament. But for me, like, the experience plays a huge factor. And this team doesn't have a whole lot of experience, you know, from a tournament-wise. Now, do they have enough Spartan dogs? Do they have that Spartan dog mentality? I think they do, because the workouts they went through this summer, everything that they were put through by the coaching staff, the strength and training staff, like, the culture of Michigan State now is completely turned around. Because before, you know, you had some kids come in last year who didn't have that mentality, that Spartan dog mentality. Now you brought in some former players who are working on the staff. Now you got our strength coach who worked with those kids for 3 months. It's back to the old Spartan dog ways now. And so that's kind of ingrained in this team's head at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think they have the talent. Not right now, because we need to see how big Christie is and stuff like that. I think they have the dogs, though. And I think a guy like Walker, who was the defensive player of the year in this conference, is the head of the snake defensively. And then you have Bingham in the back end. If he plays like he did at the end of last season, and then you throw in the athleticism of guys like Christian Brown, and Hall's a good defender as an undersized four, I think that dog mentality is there with those guys. I don't think they have the talent right now, but at the same time, I didn't think they had the talent in 14 and 15, and then a guy like Travis Trice just completely takes over and shocks the world. And I mean, he's developed, and he took that run and developed a decent professional career. And so if there's somebody on the team that can do something like that, that's the question. And if that gets answered with a yes, this team can definitely go to the Final Four. Let's play a quick game, a very, very, very quick game. It's going to be too high, too low, or just right. All right. Michigan preseason ranking tied with Purdue for first. Jeremy, too high, too low, just right. Obviously, they can't be too low, but whatever.
I think it's too high. You know, I think this team is ready to make a run in the Big Ten championship right now. Inexperienced, and I think they have enough talent to make a run in March. It's been wildly successful in March. Juwan had that that year, so he's got really, really good player. Got that a little bit of experience to win the Big Ten. I think I get the preseason one, but I don't think that's too high.
Yeah, I got too high, too. I think this is Purdue's conference to lose, even though I think Matt Painter's a terrible X's and O's coach. Anthony?
No, I'm with you, Tyler. I mean, I think it's too high for Michigan. I think right now Purdue's the team to beat. They got a two-headed monster in the post right now. I mean, they got Tavon Williams back. And then they got that 7'4", 7'5" monster coming off the bench. And they got some good point guard play too. But, you know, like you said, Tyler, can the coaching be the one thing that actually gets Purdue over the hump this year? But right now they're the team to beat. And Michigan's obviously a top two, top three team right now in the Big Ten. But, you know, I think the experience factor, you know, is going to play, you know, it plays a factor right now. But will
I'm also – Yeah, I'm also going to throw Illinois in there. And don't forget, Anthony, Jaden Ivey. Ivey. Mishawaka's own Jaden Ivey. He's going to be he's going to be such a stud this year. It's not even funny. All right, Jeremy, Michigan State was projected to finish 6th. Too high, too low, just right.
Oh, man, I'm going to cause a lot of relief. I'm going to say, but honestly, the more I look at this conference, I think it's just right. I think the other teams that are ahead of them are rightfully so judged, you know, a little high. We don't have enough. So Michigan State 6 makes sense. You know, I'm going to say just right.
Anthony?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jeremy. I think it's just right. And, you know, like Tom Izzo said today at his media day conference, you know, they're an unproven team right now. And based off of what they did last year, he thinks they deserve to be picked 6 right now. So I'm going to go with Coach Izzo's words. I think it's just right for them right now.
Well, you stole my talking points. I knew I should have went before you on that one.
You guys love Izzo so much. God, it's like he's Phil Jackson of college basketball. Okay, I'm done.
I got nothing to add after that. Mostly because you were cutting out.
Tyler said, I don't want to do fourth grade arguments today. He gives the business to AI.
so many things I wanted to say. And he was like, no. Clearly, he runs the show. I'm just a sidekick. Because I never had the ability to say some very, very difficult things to say.
I think we're to a very high standard. Jeremy, I'm going to cut you off right here because we got to get going. I think we're to a very high standard right now. And y'all going to hear that standard coming up in the next couple weeks. We got a lineup coming at you thanks to the help of former Spartan dog Dwayne Hawkins. He's not going to be with us on the show, but he booked about 5 or 7 former players, and we're working on a couple others. Get you ready. You know, Michigan State's got two weeks to prepare for U of M in football, and so we'll get going then. Anthony, I'm going to hit you really quick, all right? Two more questions for you really quick. Michigan favored by 3.5 against Nebraska. Who you got?
Oh, man. Honestly, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Michigan does win on Saturday, but it'll be close because I think Nebraska and Adrian Martinez may present some problems to them, but I think Michigan's going to win.
Yeah, I had Michigan winning. I had Nebraska covering, though, at least. I just think Martinez is going to cause them all sorts of headaches. You just got to wait for those turnovers. And then Michigan State by 5 against Rutgers.
I'm taking us to win by double digits tomorrow.
Ooh, I like it. Coming out with that confidence. But, hey, that does it for us here on Trouble with the Snap podcast. For Jeremy File, Anthony Iani, I'm Tyler Hayward. You guys have a good one.